recall seeing it.
I'll do it right away.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I think that's going to be partially relevant to items 1 and 2, at least.
Okay.
And that'll give us at least some information to start thinking about. And I'm sure there's going to be other sources as well. But we can talk about that when we get on the call, when everyone joins.
The one other agenda item that we pretty much have to get through today is the schedule. And because you're supposed to present information tomorrow representing us is supposed to present information at the GNSO Council tomorrow on the call.
Good afternoon. Thomas Wessler here. I'm replacing Vittorio Bertola for this call.
Hey, Thomas.
Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Thomas Wessler from the ALAC.
Okay. Hi, Thomas.
And that's Brian speaking?
Brian Darville.
Ah, hello.
And Thomas is Terry Clark from IP2.
Hello.
And Barbara.
Hi.
I was getting confused because I thought I had seen an apology from you, Barbara.
That was for yesterday.
Okay, 2 minutes.
So you're on too many task courses, just like me.
Yes, precisely. But for this one, I'm really just a one-time replacement. Vittorio can't attend the call.
Ross jumped in as well, folks. How's everyone doing?
Everyone's tired, I think.
Yeah.
Middle of the week, you know.
This week is hell.
I may have to drop off and rejoin, so if you hear any extra bings, it's probably me. I may have to go.
Barbara, while we're waiting for others to get on the call, quick question on the statement of interest. I'm not sure exactly how extensive these should be. What's the information that needs to be provided, and what's the recommended form of that?
Just, I think, pretty much something saying, you know, I'm participating in the Who Is Task Force, whatever, on behalf of, you know, as a representative of the whatever constituency, I'm, you know, employed by, or I'm working with, or I'm, you know, consulting with, and whatever the relevant company is that you think, you know, would be appropriate to say. It's really just, you know, to give a little background info for whoever.
So people can understand generally what your perspective might be and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine. I'll.
Well, and I mean, we're beginning. I think everybody is beginning to understand that when we produce results, we need to place them in a context that others who have no idea how our processes work can understand. And so the idea here is to say, okay, look, this work was created as a result of this committee, and this committee was formed by these people, and that's how we formed this committee, and or task force or whatever, you know, word we use in there. And that way, you know, when we publish something out on the web, people look at, they can say, oh, these were the people involved, and here's how that got constituted, and you know, here's what they're here's how they're involved in the industry.
Okay, that's fine. I'll. So my sense is this is a less than a paragraph.
Yes, exactly. This is like a very, very brief statement.
Okay.
Like you would, you know, like a really short bio that you might put in if you were asked to speak at a conference or something, or, you know, just something to sort of give people a sense of who you are.
That's
but
fine.
not like your life history or your employment history or you know, anything like that.
Okay.
It's not a full disclosure. It's just a statement of the...
Right. I got you. Someone just join? Guess not. Well, what do you say we go ahead and get started? We've got the agenda from last week. I guess one of the issues we were going to talk about, and maybe we should deal with the schedule issue first, Barbara. What do you think about that?
I think that's probably a good idea. Actually, we have a sort of earlier issue that we just have to go over because it was raised as a concern by some people.
Okay.
We currently record these calls as we do the council calls, and the purpose for that is primarily so that we have Glenn has a record from which she can make the minutes, but we also preserve them right now. And so there's a question that each task force has to decide as to whether they, first of all, we need to inform people at the beginning of the call that this is being recorded so that they understand that when they're participating. But also just to, you guys have to make a decision about the state of these MP3s. Do you want them preserved as part of the record of the work that this group has done, because we are supposed to keep a record of our work, but the minutes could suffice for that. Or do you want Glenn, after she creates the minutes, to then dispose of them, like reuse the materials to you know, record over them for the next meeting or something like that, or simply destroy them if that's the only option?
Well, if I could jump in with my two cents, I find them incredibly useful after the fact for going back and sorting out different points of agreement and disagreement. So I'd completely be in favor of destroying them, or of keeping them.
Of keeping them. Yeah. I think that for the council meetings, they have proven invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
And for the who is... meet you know, the Who is Task Force, the original Who is Task Force, they were very, very helpful as well.
Yeah.
So I would advocate that you should preserve them, but I'm not really the one who has to make that decision. So I can tell you that on Task Force 2, they're discussing it amongst themselves for another week. And
I think that makes some sense. I mean, my sense is from the call last week, we're not going to have a lot of people on the call today, and maybe we should address it at the next call, which will probably be after the New Year, since I think we're looking at Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve as the next two Wednesdays, and then just, you know, put it up for a vote. I mean, I guess I can see the benefit of having it and also some downside, but I don't know that I feel terribly strongly either way. But why don't we wait, and then we'll just put it up for a vote at that time. Does that make sense to people?
I think that's a good... I think raise it on the list and allow people some time to consider it and then make a decision, and Glenn will just preserve them until that time.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Should we turn to the schedule at this point, Barbara? You want to talk a little bit about that, and then we can make some decisions there.
Sorry, since I got on the call, Terry Clark.
Yes.
Brian, Thomas, and anybody else?
Yeah.
Ross is here as well.
Ross joined us, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Ross.
Okay, the there's a couple of considerations you have to have in mind about the schedule. The first is that you have some mandated times in the PDP that you can, you know, look at and decide if they're appropriate for you. I have done a schedule for Task Force 1 that takes into account all the dates that they produced for work product, and I did this schedule based on a Monday through Friday working day kind of thing, and the only things that I kept calendar days were like the public comment period, and because those are specified, well, actually they're all specified as calendar days, but it just seemed unhelpful to schedule things too tightly, especially given the time of year that we're at. So if you go by the PDP, then you have about 35 days of working time to gather information and prepare preliminary ideas and get the constituency statements, and that would put you at about Friday the 16th of January. And if you do it based on calendar days, it puts you, well, I did it as 40 days, which theoretically includes writing the final thing, but let's just pretend it doesn't include that. And so that puts you out at Friday, January 23rd. Given the kinds of materials you're trying to gather and work with, I'm not sure that that's going to be sufficient for your time. But I pretty much want you guys to make a judgment about that. I want sort of you to evaluate what the work is that you want to have collected, you know, what data you're trying to gather, and then how long you think it's going to take to address that data, and how long you think you want to give the constituency a chance to evaluate that data once they have it. So those are the considerations for the first stage. And then there's a second, like you may, what is called for in the PDP is that you would take all of that, the constituency statements, the data that you gathered, the work that the group itself does, and you would create what's called a preliminary report. And that preliminary report would be put out for public comment for 20 days. And then at the end of that period, you have a very, abbreviated amount of time, about 10 days, to accommodate public comment and your own reconsiderations to create a final report. And then the final report is what gets submitted to council.
How many days to create a final report, Barbara? Sorry.
About 10 days.
10 days, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then, and actually the task force theoretically has ended at that point. So it would just be like the task force chair and staff manager who would do that final report. But I'm hearing a lot of people say that they want a chance to meet again after the public comment period to consider statements that have been made during that time. So I think that's probably going to be adjusted as well.
So those meetings would be in the, if you follow the current schedule, that would be in the 10-day period after the public comment period for the final issuance of the final report? Or
correct.
People are looking to, okay. So just so I understand the timing you've just laid out, Barbara, is that the calendar day PDP schedule, or is that the modified PDP schedule?
That's the modified PDP schedule would put it at Friday the 23rd, and
right.
Then you would create the preliminary report and put it out for public comments. So let's say that would, the public comment period would probably end
February 12th.
I'm sorry?
Would that be February 12th? Is it 20 days after the 23rd?
You have a little time after the 23rd to write the preliminary report.
How much time do you have for that?
Let's say you have 5 days for that. So let's say you have a week for that. So that puts you at January 30th.
January 30th, okay.
And then you have the public comment period. So that's 20 days, puts you at February 20th. And then you have 10 days to write your report. Now, I will just tell you right now that those 10 days prior to the March meeting, I already have three different groups telling me they want to write reports during that week. So I think all of them are going to have to juggle their schedule around a little bit to accommodate for the fact that it's unlikely I'm going to be able to write four reports that week. I think we're going to have to figure out what the best way is to proceed. And one way, of course, is to prepare reports as we go along so that the only thing that needs to happen that week is sort of a, you know, a more a finalizing of what our drafts have been up to that date. There's one group that I think is going to actually need, that's really going to be their first effort to writing that week. The others, I think we can probably get some preliminary data written up, and it's probably going to be the incorporation of the constituency statements that would be the hardest thing at that point. Now, the other two groups have all built in some time for data collection that they then put out to the constituencies, and then the constituency statement period starts. So it's like nobody is on the Who Is task forces has felt comfortable with sticking with the idea that the constituency statements are due 35 days after the initiation of the PDP, because they feel as if the whole point is to get this data into a more understandable form that people can then use as the basis for writing their constituency statement. So they've all built in a data gathering period and then requesting the constituency to produce their statements. And there's a certain logic to that, even though it's not reflected in the current PDP.
Brian, it's Marilyn. I just wanted you guys to know that I just dialed in.
Marilyn?
So we're discussing the schedule, Marilyn. That's where we're at.
Okay, so what are the other task forces doing? They're building in some time on the data gathering. So basically they're bumping that first, the deadline for completion of the first stage, which is presumably going to bump all the deadlines thereafter. Is that right?
Yes, it does. So the Task Force 1, which met yesterday, has really only extended their total working time about an additional 10 days or 2 weeks in our terms, their total time, including the gathering of constituency statements, extends to February 9th. And the way that they've done it is they've marked out certain days within which to distribute currently existing materials, to draft a notice of request for information that they want to send to some outside groups, to draft a chart of where they believe current opinions are on certain issues. And then they have a date where they're going to send out the notice. So, like, they've created a date to draft it and then another date to distribute it, send out this request for information, and a date when they expect to receive it back. And then they're mandating that the constituency statements be made available February 2nd. So not all of the data will be in for the constituencies to consider, but presumably enough of it will be there for them to form an opinion. And then the preparation of the report would take place, immediately following that. Actually, they gave themselves another 15 days beyond that to create the report. So I guess including creating the report, they went all the way to March 1st. But they gave themselves 2 weeks to write the report instead of just 5 days.
And that report being the preliminary report or the final report?
the preliminary report.
Preliminary report. So they're getting their preliminary report in at the end of February or early March.
Correct. And Task Force 2, which met on Monday, is also planning on a similar type of schedule, but it's not clear. Jordan and I are still sort of figuring this out. It's not clear whether that's the real preliminary report or if it's sort of like an interim report, and then the preliminary report would be written after the road meeting. So they wanted to create some kind of report that they could present sort of the state of where the task force is at the GNSO council meeting in Rome, but they didn't want to, they weren't sure that they wanted to actually create the actual preliminary report by that time. They weren't sure they'd be able to by that time.
Right. Well, I mean, it does seem like it's going to take some time, particularly since we're looking at from now until the end of the year, not a whole lot's going to happen in the next 2.5 to 3 weeks. I mean, although we should try to go ahead and gather some of the publicly available information that is called for by items 1 and 2, of course. It seems like we probably won't start receiving that information until, or any you know significant quantity of that information until late January. You know, is that consistent with what people think is likely to happen here?
I think that's a fairly I think that's a fairly accurate idea. I mean, I think you might want to create some interim deadlines for people to you know, to at least give progress reports on where things stand. Like, you know, how's the if we're developing a questionnaire for the registry constituency or the registrar's constituency to look at, you know, methods they're using for verifying data, then do we want to have that prepared by a certain time and sent out by a certain time, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I guess, was it Ross who said he would take a look at item one in terms of getting information on the current techniques that registrars are using?
Yeah, where it exists, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think would be a timeline? Could you go ahead and sort of take the lead on that and get together a questionnaire that could go out to the registrars? And I know you mentioned in the last call that you don't anticipate a high response rate.
No, not at all. You know, I could put something together over the next week and distribute it for sure.
Yeah, maybe if you could do that and then get it to Glenn so that she can circulate it by email within a week, let's say, and then people can, you know, perhaps send back some suggested revisions by the 31st, and then you can perhaps get that out to the registrars the first week of January.
Circulate to, Glenn would circulate to whom?
To the task force.
To the task force, yeah.
Oh, we can do that ourselves, can't we?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you want to just do it directly, that would be adequate.
All right, great.
And then we'll get comments back to you by the 31st, and then we can plan on, you can sort of assimilate all of those comments and then send it out to registrars, say, by that first week in January.
Great.
Maybe, January 7th, let's say, or early that week. And then we'll look to get responses back in, say, I don't know, a week or so, which would be the 14th. And then we can start analyzing what that shows. We can circulate all the responses to the extent we get them.
Great.
Okay. So it looks like, then, in terms of the schedule, let's go with that on number one. Item two is collecting the publicly available information on the techniques used by online service providers for verifying that data collected is accurate. And I, Terry, you and I talked about this, and you indicated that you'd be able to work with some of your folks and begin gathering some of that information. Maybe we could follow a similar timeline with that, try to get that, see what you can gather in the next week to 10 days, and let's get that that information circulated by December 31. Would that work for you, Terry?
Sure, yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Can you help me a little bit as far as the focus of the information you're looking for?
Yeah, well, I think it's the information that's being used by online service providers in terms of verifying that who is data that's collected is accurate. I had sent Glenn some information from the Open Center, which she's going to circulate by email. There might be some helpful information there. And then I guess Sarah Deutsch, who I don't think is on the call yet, and may not be available today, she indicated that she had some ideas about where we might look to gather some additional information, and maybe you could just email Sarah and see what ideas she can generate for you.
Okay.
Feel free to contact me after the call, and I'll touch base with some people and see what else we think might be a good idea for other sources of information, and we'll get all that to you.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Brian, how are you proposing?
So that'll happen by the 31st.
How are we defining online service provider for this exercise?
Well, I don't know that we have defined it, but what do you think would be a reasonable definition for that, Ross, in terms of getting at the information we're seeking?
Well, it runs the gamut from everything from companies like eBay and people gathering information about the people that they're selling to. To small network service providers that are providing dial-up access to the internet, and I'm not sure if we want to deal with that entire range or not.
Yeah, well, I think it would be, what's everyone's sense of that? I mean, it seems to me that we obviously want to get those people who are registering the volume of domain names, who are the ones who are going to have the greatest sort of impact on this issue. And it seems to me that would be where the primary focus should be. Does that make sense?
So you're talking about online service providers as registrars then?
Well, yes. And I think that certainly should be covered.
Brian, I think the way that I've read this milestone is to extend our reach a little bit beyond the who is collection of data, that people seem to be curious about how other people verify data, period. You know, like how do they verify that they're that the data they're gathering is accurate. And that's where I think Ross's question about limiting the scope of this comes in is you can look at everything from I found one website for how to verify that the data you're entering on a dam is accurate, you know, the GPS coordinates and things like that. I think it's reasonable to mark it as a fairly defined set of criteria, but I think limiting it to who is registration might limit it just a bit too much.
Okay.
I'm also concerned, Barbara, about making sure that it's reasonably representative. For instance, I wouldn't want to see just online commerce providers surveyed or just telcos surveyed, for instance.
Right. So I think we may want to think a little more creatively about what information we're trying to capture. I mean, like, one of the things that happened when I started looking into this was, you begin to investigate how they do this address verification. And, well, a lot of it isn't address verification in the sense of verifying that an address actually exists according to some database, though there are tools that do that. A lot of it is just verifying that the data matches the credit card data matches the information that's in the credit card database. Are they giving the same zip code? Are they giving the same city? that kind of thing. And so it's verification within a system, not verification to the outside world. And so I think, you know, we probably want to look at what the options are that, that people are using, and also, you know, a little bit about what their strengths and weaknesses are. I mean, that, you know, it's one thing to do financial type verifications. It's another thing to do different types of data verification. Like this thing about the dams was actually kind of interesting because, you know, they were asking people to enter information about the about existing dams so that they could have a database of existing dams, and they would match, you know, if you entered the GPS coordinates, they would match them against any currently existing information. And it was one of the points at which they could say, okay, are you talking about something new, or has this shifted from the last time, you know, if it didn't match anything that they already had in their database.
Brian, it's Marilyn. Can I get in queue?
Pardon me?
Can I get in queue?
Yes, please.
If we could just go back to the purpose that we're focused on here for just a minute. Ross, I would assume, and I'm not sure how now this group intends to do this, but we need to be sure that we're not, of course, just surveying U.S.-based entities as well, right? We need to ensure that we are including some, at least, I'm not sure we can do a sample, but at least some examples of people who are providing these kinds of services and are located in other regions of the world, at least in Europe and maybe maybe Asia Pacific, or because verification of this, and that's where I think maybe some of the CC outreach might come in.
Yeah, we did have as an item that we wanted to ask the to do a survey of CC TLDs and see what they what methods they use for verifying data.
Yeah, Barbara, you indicated, I guess maybe it was at the last meeting, that you would be contacting the CCTLDs in terms of seeing what you might be able to gather.
Yeah, the person who's the best at figuring out who we should contact is Teresa Swinehart, and she's been at the WISIS stuff and is not returning until today, and so I haven't been able to. Everyone at WISIS was sort of incommunicado because they didn't have good connectivity at the site. So I haven't been able to discuss it with her, but she's the one who I'm going to work with on that.
Barbara, the CCs have executive committees as well. The regional CCs have executive committees as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to work with her to identify who would be the best people to actually coordinate answers through instead of trying to, it may be that the CCNSO launching group is who we approach, but that we wanted to make sure we didn't miss people, and so the regional groups are probably who we're going to target.
Yeah, I'm a little, you know, in light of the scope of what we're trying to get at, we may need to, it'd be interesting or helpful to get people's ideas as to how to go about gathering this information. I don't know that it's going to be fair to Terry to just say, you know, see what you can find in the next 2 weeks and let us know. That may be a fairly tall order. What do people think would be make sense in terms of getting at this data verification issue from the various perspectives beyond the domain name registration aspects of it?
This is Sarah Deutsch joining.
Oh, hey, Sarah.
I'm sorry, I was stuck in a meeting. I could not get out till just a second.
Okay, we were talking about the issue of the second task force milestone or task, which is the gathering publicly available information on data verification by online service providers. And Terry Clark is going to work with some folks in his office to try to get some of that information together.
I've got a little bit to report on in that area because since our last call, I took a look, and you know, one area is Enum, and I have some materials I can forward to the group on what Enum is doing on verification. And then there's a bunch of other stuff to consider, but one would be commercial sites that deal with fraud issues like credit card companies, and a very good model to look at are the not necessarily traditional ISPs, but online auction sites like Amazon and eBay that have all sorts of standards to try to prevent fraud, both through logical verification of data and through other tools like, you know, payment systems that are available in different countries. And then and the last idea was that there are some UN agencies that are actually dedicated to collecting and standardizing business and geographic information to facilitate trade. And we may want to look into what these standard organizations talk about.
Okay. Brian, this is Terry again. It sounds like what we probably should do, at least for the first few days, is try to do a survey of the information that's out there and publicly available. And then once we get to that stage, then we can start digging deeper by identifying the particular companies, trade associations, governmental agencies, or whoever that we should drill down to get more, real live data instead of the 10,000-foot view.
Right. I think that's a good idea. Maybe I'm concerned a little bit about the timeline, though. Maybe if you and Sarah could work together over the next couple of weeks. I know that's not a productive time of the year, but see what you can get together, and if Sarah can circulate whatever materials she has gathered today and get that to the task force and to you, and then we can decide, you know, what's a reasonable way to go from there to gather additional information on these issues.
Do we have a call scheduled for next week?
Would people be available for such a call?
Well, I would be, but
Wednesday of next week is what day?
It's Christmas. I think it's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, it's Christmas Eve.
It's the 24th, so, I think our office is closing early, although we'd be here in the morning, I'm sure. I'm available if we can get a few people on the call, and it might be worth having a short call just to deal with this issue, because that may be the maybe the more complicated issue in terms of gathering the information, given the breadth that we're looking for. I don't know. Terry, would you be available next week?
Yeah, I'm going to be here. The other alternative is for you and Sarah and I to kind of work together and communicate to the rest of the task force by email.
Right. I mean, that's an option, too. What do folks think about that? Is that appropriate? And I suppose what we could do is go ahead and if Sarah can get whatever material she has to you, whether it's just ideas or actual materials that we have from some of these sources, and then why don't we plan on having a call next week? If we did have one, who would be available? I mean, Terry's there. I'm going to be there. Barbara, would you be available?
Yes, I will be.
And what about anybody else on the call? Sarah, how about you?
Yes, I can do it if it's that would be fine.
Okay. Why don't we just go ahead and we'll have the call next week, recognizing we're going to have a few participants, and then at least kind of see where we are on this second aspect of the data gathering and from the general to the concrete and see where we can go after next week.
If I can make a suggestion, I think you probably want to figure out where in this process, like at what point you're going to feel like you've got enough data to request the constituencies to produce their statements about this issue. And whether, I mean, you may want to consider, I actually think you probably do want to have some data for them to look at, but if you want them to start doing that now and just, you know, start preparing your statements now and just be ready to present them to the, you know, to hand them into the to the task force at a certain point. I mean, if you ask for them to be to you by, say, February 1st or 2nd, Monday is actually the 2nd, then, you know, at what point are you going to tell them, and here's the data we've collected that you can, you know, here's the conclusions we've drawn from it, that kind of thing. Here's our preliminary recommendations, perhaps, and you know, what is it that you want the constituencies to consider when they're making their statements? And you have to kind of work sort of forward and backward in time from those constituency statements, because you can't produce the preliminary report until you have them, but you also don't want to delay them to the point where, you know, you've done most of your work, and that's when you ask the constituencies to respond to it.
Right, I understand that. In terms of gathering this information, particularly on issue two, on the data verification by other online service providers, in what form do you anticipate us getting this information? I mean, we're not doing some kind of formal survey, are we? Or how would you generally go about doing this?
I honestly have no idea. I've never produced a report like that, so I'm really not sure what the how scientifically we want to produce it. I think we're all very clear this is an informal survey of available data.
Okay, so really then it's
not like
it's
a
more of a
research kind of thing, you know.
Going to go out to various online service providers and try to find out the techniques that they're using, and we're going to gather information from different, you know, market sectors in different areas of the world and summarize that and provide it to the constituencies so that they can then look at this and provide their comments regarding it.
Right, and I think what may happen is that we may find that we really have to use our networking, call people up and talk to them about it, and, you know, just do a kind of informal discussion of how they, you know, do their verification process and not ask them for, you know, confidential proprietary information, but ask them to just sort of give us a sense of how this works and what, you know, processes need to be in place and how much generally do they think it costs or adds in cost to their services. And we may want to work up, you know, a very short list of questions that seem to get at the heart of what we're trying to get at, you know, and I think doing it as a survey where we send questions out to people and ask them to reply to, we're going to get zero response. I think if we do it in a more informal, personal way, using our own resources to network with people, we have a much greater likelihood of actually getting responses that are helpful.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe then it makes sense for Sarah and Terry to go ahead and identify the sources, like the three that Sarah's identified on the call today, and just come up with other potential sources of the information we're looking for, and perhaps specific companies or organizations that we would expect would have, you know, analogous data verification procedures. And then after next week's call, we can come up with, you know, some kind of information we're looking for, and then target specific companies and organizations to try to get that information. That's a way to proceed, and we can circulate the list of the categories and the companies and organizations so that if other people have ideas, they can throw those into the mix, and that might give some focus to what is a very broad inquiry, it seems to me.
Yeah. I would suggest as a target date for that that you try to have the general list, the one that, you know, you and Sarah and Ross are coming up with as like, maybe say have that list available by December 31st.
Okay.
And have people respond to it with additions by the week after that. Maybe a little bit more than that, just because that's a very troublesome week. A lot of people are on holiday that week following New Year's Eve.
Right, why don't we make it 10 days, like January 10th?
Yeah, something like that. And then we should also at the same time be developing what the questions are that we want to ask these people. So by January 10th, we should have not only as fully defined a list of as possible of who we're going to go and talk, you know, and ask these questions of, but what are the questions we're going to ask them. And then we need to figure out who's going to go and do that work, who's going to call these people. And again, I think if we're relying on informal networks of people, it's really going to be appropriate to have everybody sort of involved in that. Everybody pick an area that they think they know somebody in and can, you know, start the calling process. And if they generate, 20 different contacts, then clearly they can come back and ask for help and, getting in touch with those people. But if you're just tracking down two or three people, I think it works best if everyone sort of shares that load.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. Why don't we go with that schedule then? So I guess...
So let's say by January 10th... Well, let's do it, back it up a little bit. Okay, so by December 31st, we'll have a preliminary list of groups that we want to contact to get more information from. And I think at the same time we should develop a preliminary list of questions that we want to ask those groups.
And you want the questions by
December. Well, the initial list of questions by December 31st.
Okay.
And then give ourselves another 10 days to sort of refine both of those. People can make more suggestions about who to go contact, and can refine the questions to, more appropriately address what we're trying to get at as information. And these aren't going to be hard and fast questions, right? I mean, they're just guidelines for how to direct the conversation so that you get the information that we're trying to get at. That work will all be completed by January 10th, so that on the 10th we can sort of figure out, or the meeting after the 10th, we can figure out who's going to go do what. Who's going to go talk to this group and who's going to talk to this other group, and how are we going to collate the information and like that.
So, Sarah, this is Terry. I assume you will give me you'll provide me with your information, and then you...
If you could give me your email address, or do you want me to just focus or send everything to the group so we can create kind of a master list?
Why don't you do that, Sarah? And that way, Terry will get it and we'll have it. I think that makes some sense. It sounds like down the road, everyone's...
And this is a project we really need everyone to brainstorm on.
I think that's right. I think that makes a lot of sense.
And then let's talk a little bit about after we have compiled these questions and the groups we're going to ask the questions of, then we need to set a timeline for how long we're going to give people to go out and contact these groups. And, would it be unreasonable to say that we're going to give people, 10 days of working time or 2 weeks to do that? That takes us all the way to the end of January if we say that. And let's see, so let's say we're at, I'm not looking at a calendar right now, unfortunately, but let's say we're at January 30th or so, to have collected all that information. And then at that point, do you want to, I'm also including the CCTLDs in that, but we'll have gotten responses from the CCTLDs by that point. Then is that the point at which you want to invite the constituencies to prepare their statements, to submit their statements by a certain point?
How much time do you think they would need for that?
Well, keeping in mind that they're going to be working on statements for other things at the same time, the timeline works out that you would want them to have something to you by mid-February. Like, so you notify them at the council meeting tomorrow that you will have materials for them to look at, you know, to review by the end of January, and you want them to have their constituency statement to you by, say, February 15th or so.
Yeah, maybe what we could do is maybe we should back these dates up a little bit just so we wind up on weekdays. So January 9 would be our deadline to refine both the organizations and the questions. January 30 would be the deadline for actually having contacted all the various groups and gathered the information, and then maybe February 13 for the constituency statements. Does that make sense? It's a Friday. Enough time?
Well, you have to understand their time starts whenever you tell them their deadline is, right? You know, so it's like if they already have views on this issue and are unlikely to change those views in light of, you know, further data, then that's one thing. But if they are waiting for the data to be compiled, then you're giving them about 2 weeks worth of time to review that data and come up with a statement. And I personally don't think that would be an unusual amount of time for them to consider it. I do think that month before the Rome meeting is there. We're asking for a lot of constituency statements in that time period. And so I guess I'm asking you guys, do you think it's reasonable to have a two-week period for the constituencies to develop their statement about this issue, keeping in mind that you're going to be doing prep work for the Rome meeting, you're going to be being asked to do constituency statements for the other two task forces, and in fact probably for the third task force on new registry services?
Just to give you guys a sense of our processes, we could probably write one in 2 weeks. We couldn't have it endorsed by the membership in 2 weeks.
Okay.
There's something that needs to be endorsed by the membership. We need to take a vote. That usually, well, if we include the document drafting, it would probably take us close to a month.
Yeah. I think that's probably similar for every group, just from what I've seen about how the groups, how the constituencies' processes work. So I'm not sure it's realistic to ask for a constituency statement in February. But that means that you end up putting your work off, your conclusions of your work, past the Rome meeting. And so there's a trade-off there.
Right. And basically you're saying that under the PDP they have, what, 15 days to submit their...
No, they have 35. They have 35 days from the beginning of the PDP, which in this case we're counting as the beginning of the task force, since the task forces got formed so much after the initiation of the PDP. So they have 35 days from our first meeting, which was December 2nd or 3rd, and that would put them, if you look at calendar days, that puts them in the middle of January, and so that seems, unrealistic given that we haven't even done the data gathering yet, and you want people to write their constituency statements based on fresh data, on new conclusions, not on old conclusions. So I think there's of necessity an alteration to what the PDP calls for. The question is, what kind of alteration is it? Do you give them the full 35 days after you do all your data gathering? That would be one way of doing it. And if you did it on calendar days, that puts you with them producing their statements right after the Rome meeting. But if you do it on working days, then that gives them until, the end of March to come up with statements. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think given that we're not following the PDP precisely already, that we need to think a little independently of what the PDP calls for in order to create reasonable timelines for people to actually get the work done and to bring it back to the constituencies and for the constituencies to follow their processes in developing a statement that, that is useful and appropriate. Unfortunately, the timing of the March meeting is at the beginning of the month rather than the end of the month, and that is putting a sort of adding a pressure element to the timing that, you know, if you want to have something to present at Rome that is a conclusion, then you have to compress all these times. If you are willing to have something that you present at Rome that's a progress report, then you can probably ease the pressure somewhat and develop your report, you know, develop your timeline so that constituency statements aren't due until after that.
Yeah. This entire discussion, if I could digress for a second, it kind of raises in my mind whether or not we should be thinking seriously about an expert, particularly with respect to this issue too of the task force's work. And I wonder, as a matter of process, how does that work? Is there would these experts be, to the extent we decide it? You know, and I'm not recommending it at this point, but I'm certainly thinking about it. If we were going to bring in an expert on some of these issues, are these people, would they be compensated? And if so, does ICANN foot that bill, or how does that work? Or would they simply be volunteers?
Brian, it's Marilyn. Barbara may be able to comment if there has been an ICANN discussion since that time. I can comment on the history of what we intended when we developed the PDP and then approved it at the council level.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
The idea of experts came up because we did realize that in many cases the expertise really does not reside either at the ICANN staff level or in the constituencies and the groups that make up the task forces. So the idea was that experts would be invited to participate, to advise. We did not, I think there's a different issue of whether a task force thinks that they need to have someone paid to do certain kinds of work. We did not tie the idea of compensating the experts, of compensation and experts together at the time we discussed it. I'm not saying it couldn't be considered. I'm just telling you we did not tie it together at that time.
Right. So.
But I would like to make just two comments as an observer on this, and being on one other task force and sitting on the other one as an observer. I think that this task force should think about not just the issue of experts, but does there need to be some paid work done?
Yeah. Could you elaborate?
It's my own view, and it's my own personal view that the expectations of the amount of work that is needed to be done for all three of these task forces is unrealistic to expect to get done solely by volunteers or by a single staff person that I can, just from a realistic perspective. I think there's also an issue that many of the demands for data gathering are duplicative and will get bad data because we are making multiple dips to the same people. And so we just won't get responses because of that. And I think that it may be possible to find or fund some small amount of outreach work or research work that could then be presented as a report and considered by the task force. And that would not, you know, be a significant financial commitment by ICANN. But
Marilyn, is it a case of workflow management or a case of capability to gather? It strikes me you're describing a workflow management issue, not necessarily an experience or capability issue. If it's workflow management, then we've got two options. We can either throw more resources at it or we can take longer to do it.
Yeah. I think that some of the data gathering needed by the task forces may be better done by an independent single person that could gather data that could be used by all three task forces. And so I don't think it is just a workflow management issue, Ross. But
not speaking officially on behalf of ICANN in terms of giving you a final answer, but I don't think that there's anything budgeted for paying for either experts or specific data gathering practices within ICANN right now.
Well,
so
Barbara,
there's nothing, you know, clearly budgeted for that other than my services. So,
Council.
I have to drop off. I'll be right back, folks. Sorry about that.
Council may need to consider making a request to ICANN to ensure that there are adequate resources to support these policy development processes.
Yeah, that would be, I was just telling you that, where things stand right now. I wasn't trying to say that they couldn't be just.
I don't know that we progress on that issue today because.
But Brian, if you think it's even needed, then you need to just make sure that we understand it, because council's meeting tomorrow morning.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, you may not need to elaborate on it, but if the task force thinks that something is going to be needed, it would be helpful to just know that you think something will be needed, even though you might not have scoped it.
Right. Well,
I think you should note it, because no matter how great a job we do, there's going to be a huge amount of work into delving into all the different options here, and I don't know that it's within the scope of anyone here to do that. All we can do is throw out suggestions and ideas, and really going to need some real experts.
It just seems that, for one thing, there are people out there who are expert in this area, and they could summarize the lay of the land pretty quickly. The people who spent their careers doing this, and you could get someone like that to help the task force. I think that would be a very positive and beneficial, aspect of the work. What do we need to do to try to get that to happen, Barbara? Should we put that up for a vote, or whether or not we, A, recommend retaining experts, and B, getting council to put in a request to fund experts for one or more of the task forces? How would we go about doing that?
I think the way you've talked about it is about right. The task force would have to determine that such an expert would be appropriate for use in the task force's work, and one way of determining appropriate use would be to say it would, speed up the process incredibly, or it would produce a more thorough report, or something like along those lines. And then once the determination was made that a certain resource was appropriate, asking for certain resources appropriate, you'd have to, I think, figure out how much you thought it was going to cost and put the request to council for support of that resource from ICANN. And then council would have to make a determination about whether that's something that they, feel is the appropriate way to get that information filled.
Brian, I have to drop off. I'll catch up with Sarah later as the BC representative on this. But
yeah, and I've got an 11 o'clock call as well.
Okay.
But I will be on the council call tomorrow, and I'm happy to hear from you or as the chair on what your thinking is. Ross is on council as well. I'm sure he would be happy to hear more about that as well.
Yeah, well, before you drop off, let's just take a quick poll of the people on the call. I mean, are most people in agreement that having an expert to assist in at least this task force's work would speed the process and lead to a more thorough and accurate report on the issues? What do people think about that? Marilyn, obviously, I think you think that would be the case. Well, Sarah, what's your view on that?
I do. I think we should put in this recommendation. It seems like a no-brainer that we need help.
Do we need to put this up for a vote Barbara, or can we simply express this as a view expressed on the call today?
I don't think you have enough participants on the call to make a vote.
To make a vote. Okay, well then, whoever's going to be on the call tomorrow, perhaps you can at least indicate that, I guess Ross is off the call. Is Tomas on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call, but...
What do you think about that, Tomas? Would you be...
The only thing I can say about it is that, first of all, the entire policy development process on any of the task forces would certainly benefit from having more staff resources available.
Well, whoever's going to be on the council call tomorrow can at least relay we don't have a quorum, and we're not taking a formal vote, but that there is a strong feeling, at least informally, that trained experts to assist with the task force's work would be very beneficial.
Brian, I think that's all we really need from you guys, and I will check in with the chair of task force too. And I think Jeff has already from task force one has already sort of expressed some similar things. So I think that's the kind of input you need to provide. You're the task force. You're trying to do the work, and here's your assessment.
Right. Okay. Well, why don't we get that relayed tomorrow? And then you guys have to drop off the call. That would leave, I guess, Tomas, Terry, and I, and Barbara. Maybe we can just work on the schedule a little bit more, Barbara, and then before we conclude the call. So we'll see you guys next week if you're available on the call, and then take it from there. Barbara, you're still on?
Yes, I am.
And Terry, how about you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Why don't we go through the schedule, Barbara? We were talking about the timeline where we would try to get this information on the verification by January 30, and then that would put the constituency statements after the ICANN meeting.
Well, it depends. I mean, you could ask for the constituency statements after the ICANN meeting, or you could ask for them before. I was just pointing out that asking for them before has some issues with timing that might be difficult for all the constituencies.
Right. What about what if we did this? What if we put our timeline for gathering our information to January 23rd, and then gave them until February 13 to give their constituency statements? I mean, I think that that's a little bit artificial, particularly in light of the discussion concerning the experts, where it would seem that it would be very beneficial to have those experts involved in assisting the task force. But would that be another means of getting the constituency statements by the 13th and then giving us some time to either put in the preliminary report before the ICANN meeting, or I guess you've referred that some of the other task forces are going to put in an interim report, which I guess is a...
I guess, yeah, they're all pretty much planning on having their preliminary report in. I'm a little confused about Task Force 2 at the moment, what their proposal is for that what kind of report they want to present. But I think the idea was to have it be the preliminary report so that they could have the public comment period start, during the meeting.
During the meeting, yeah.
If I could ask a question, actually, Brian, I've been getting on this before, calling back now. You talked about the need for experts, and Marilyn talked about the need to get extra help, but it's not clear as to what these experts would be consulting on, so I'm just kind of out in left field.
Well, is it Ross?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, my sense of it, Ross, would be on this issue, too, where we're supposed to gather publicly available information of data verification techniques by online service providers. It sounds like the information that we would be able to gather as a group would be, highly informal and probably not all that representative. And so I think that would be the area where, at least it seems to me, we could benefit from some expertise. And obviously there's expertise out there on this issue, so that's where I think the discussion is on the need to retain experts. What are your views on that?
Oh, I think we might have lost him.
But so anyway, Yeah. Ross, you there?
Thomas here. Maybe I can use the silence to just follow up to Barbara's remark and task first two. According to my notes, the basic consensus on the call was that by Rome, something like a summary of like a compilation of the input received until then would be presented to the council, and that the Rome meeting might maybe used for a physical meeting of the task force.
Where
people could work out the issues and start working on policy recommendations.
Right.
Because a formal preliminary report would contain policy recommendations according to the timeline we had for task force two. Constituency statements would be due on February 23rd, leaving us with 1 week, a week in which we would travel for working out the policy, which any policy changes, and that would be impossible.
Right, that was, I think that was where I was getting confused, was that we had the constituency statements due before Rome, but we didn't have the report written before Rome. So that was where my notes sort of broke down.
The preliminary report, I think there was, I'm seeing some question marks in my notes at that point, but it seemed to be something like 22nd to 29th of March for getting that finally done.
That's for task force two?
Yeah.
Task force two, yes.
Hey, Brian, this is Terry. I have a client waiting. I'm about 15 minutes late.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll catch up with you later, Terry.
Okay, just give me a ring or drop me an email so we can figure out what we're going to be doing before the 29th.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Brian, I'm really sorry about that. I got dropped off halfway through your answer. Would you mind repeating yourself?
Yeah, the answer was simply that the area, at least as I perceive it, and I think some other people perceive it as well, that the area where expertise would be helpful would be on this issue of collecting the publicly available information on online service providers' data verification, because, you know, it's a particularly in a lot of the comments that were supposed to canvas international practices and you know, various market sectors where, you know, other than the one we're most familiar with, that's where the expertise could come into play and be very helpful. And also in developing, presumably, a best practices document, which dovetails with that second aspect of the task force's work.
So would it be safe to characterize it as somebody to point us in the right direction as to where we should be looking for this data, but not necessarily conduct the analysis?
Well, where the data is, but also, you know, to help in the task force's work in developing, I guess, the best practices document, and you know, what are the techniques that should be employed, and which ones are most cost efficient, and that kind of thing.
What
I mean, it just seems to me that relying on a group of volunteers to put this together in their spare time is not. Probably not the most efficient way to get it done and to get it done well. I mean, it's a pretty tall order. And so, I mean, my own personal view would be that we could benefit from that expertise. And I guess at least a few other people think that. It's not a formal task force position at this point, and I'm not saying that it is, but...
Sure. I guess I need to understand what you mean by best practices a little bit more before I get really comfortable with it. You know, if we're looking to an outside party to draft what may eventually become policy, I'm not too crazy about that. But, you know, I don't have a full scope of what you mean by...
We'd draft it. The task force would draft it, but we would have somebody who would be providing information in connection with that. One of the things we're tasked with is creating a best practices document for improving data verification. And there are people with very substantial expertise in that area, and the idea would be that they could facilitate our work, I guess.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't I send you, Brian, a preliminary schedule that you could just tentatively approve as the task force chair for presentation tomorrow at the council meeting.
Okay, and who would be? Do I need to be on that call, or would you just present that, Barbara? How does it work?
probably will come best from somebody. Glenn, what do you think? I have no idea what the appropriate protocol is for that.
Well, I think Russ is member of council, so would he perhaps be able to do it? Would you do it, Russ?
Normally I'd say absolutely yes, but it's not clear whether we'll be able to make the call or not, so I may not be the person to rely on. Yes.
Perhaps you should do it. I think protocol-wise, you should do it, yes.
Yeah.
You were talking over each other. I should do it?
No, she's saying that I should do it. Barbara should do it.
That's fine. Why don't you send that to me, Barbara, and I'll look at it, and then I'll get back to you
if you think that what I'm proposing is completely controversial for the group to put forward as a proposal, then you can tell me that, and we'll adjust it accordingly.
Okay.
But if it's something that you think is within the frame of what we've been talking about already, then, you know, I'll go ahead and put it forward. Now, one of the things is that because we're going to extend our work, it looks like past Rome, we have to ask, you know, for somehow officially more time to do that work.
Barbara?
Yes, Tom.
Why don't you just send the proposed schedule to the entire list?
Oh, yeah, I actually think I will. I mean, I'm not going to just send it to Brian, but we also have to reach a conclusion on it by, you know, end of June today.
We'll just give everybody a possibility to stab at it.
Yeah. So I'll try to have that out in the next couple of hours. I'm not actually at the office yet, so I have to get there.
Well, we'll look for that, and then I'll send you whatever my comments are back to Glenn, and we can take it from there. And I guess we'll have a call at the same time next week. I don't anticipate a whole lot of people on the call, but I think that would be we can probably make a little bit of progress next week as well. So why don't we go ahead and plan on that as well, same time, Glenn, and we'll see what we can accomplish next week. Now, on this issue of the expert, is that something that is just simply going to be floated at the GNSO council meeting tomorrow, or
I think it's probably going to be floated at the call, and it may generate a discussion of enormous proportions, in which case I don't think they'll reach a conclusion.
So
I think we should proceed as if we are not going to have an expert on this particular PDP task force, because I think if it turns out that by the end of January they approve an expert, that would be great. But that would, you know, be something that would be fairly remarkable. But I think we need to proceed with our work as if we are the ones doing the work.
Yeah, that's kind of my sense of it too. I understand that's probably how things will shake out, but it's probably worth at least getting the discussion going and seeing what happens. But all right, well, why don't we, for today, why don't we wrap up? We'll look at the draft schedule. Everyone can send their comments back to Barbara, and then we'll have a brief call next Wednesday just to probably follow up on this issue of the data verification and whatever Ross is able to come up with respect to the registrars, and then take it from there.
Okay.
Okay. Talk with you guys next week.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.